ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। द टॉपिक आई एम गोइंग टू स्पीक ऑन दिस आफ्टरनून इज Being an accurate effort maker. Baba talks a lot about being an intense effort maker. And when Baba uses the word intense, many children think it is great labor, it's too much hard work. And therefore, some give up. So when Baba speaks about intense effort, many children think something intense is very hard work. Only hard work is intense. Only laboring is intense. But in today's blessing, Baba did not use the word intense. Baba used the word accurate effort maker. So what does it mean to be an accurate effort maker? In accurate effort making, definitely there is intense effort making too. But then this word intense can have two meanings. It can be taken in a very positive way and also in a very negative way, intense. But accurate word is very positive. There's no negative in this word. And therefore Baba used the word accurate effort maker, where there is no hard work, there is no labor, but it is done out of love. Where there is love, then any hard work is not thought to be hard. Even if it is very intense, but it doesn't seem hard work. It doesn't seem a labor, because it's done with love, done with easiness, done with a state of absorption. It is done in a remembrance. It is done with enthusiasm, because there is love. And if there's no love, then everything seems labor. Everything seems hard. It is just like when you have interest in something. And because you have interest in doing that work, you love it. And when you love it, there is interest. Even it may be a little difficult, but you want to learn, you want to do it, you want to do it. People may tell you, oh, it's too hard, it's too difficult, I can't do it, they may tell you, but you'll say, no, it's very easy, because you have interest in it. So interest and love, these are two main bases for making anything very easy. And when it is considered to be easy, then it can also be very accurate. Sometimes that easy can make us careless. You know, when I say, oh, very easy, very easy. Please put somebody's voice, somebody's radio is, speaker is on? Whose radio speaker is on? I can hear it also. I should not be able to hear it. Huh? Alright? Sasha's voice is heard outside. Alright? See? Russian, somebody. So when there is love and when there is interest, then nothing seems a labor, nothing is hard, nothing is difficult. And therefore Baba says, first of all you have to create that interest. You have to create that love. Then nothing is difficult. And then it becomes not only easy, and you also will not be careless. Because when something is easy, then you may also become careless. Oh, it's very easy for me. But for it not to be difficult, to be easy, and still you are not careless in it, there is the need for love and interest in it. And for that, you need a very, very strong aim and objective. You know, somebody goes for a very big examination. Baba says in the Murlis, the exam, ICS exam, before it was called Indian Civil Service, when the Britishers were ruling in India, it was called Indian Civil Service, Administrative Service in the government. Then when India became independent, it became IAS, Indian Administrative Service, IAS. And it's a very, very difficult examination. Because if it would be an easy examination, then everybody would pass. But they make it so difficult because once somebody passes an IAS exam, the government is compelled to give them a job in administration work of the country. And the one who passes, he is really very intelligent, very hard working, and has really worked in a very intense way. Only then he is able to pass, because they make it very difficult exam, so that all don't pass, otherwise the government has to give them a job if they pass. And once they pass, immediately they have to get a job. They get a job. And therefore the exam is very tough. But those who have that interest, those who have the love, those who are really having a very good aim and objective that, yes, I want to attain that stage, then it's not difficult. You know, very many people say difficult. We say, why difficult? If so and so can do it, why can't you do it? Like children used to come to Baba and Mama. They used to tell Baba, Baba, it's too difficult, I'm too old. And now how can I make intense effort? It's difficult to wake up at Amrit Vela. You know, I can't, you know, it's difficult. Baba, I'm too old for that. If I would be young, then I could do it better, easily. Young people have that energy. Now I don't have that energy, I'm too old. And then Baba would say, see children, this one is a very old. How old is he? He's 90 years old. See Dadi Janki, 99, nearly reaching 100. But that intense effort is always there, always there. So Baba also used to say, this one is so old. If he can do it, why can't you? Baba used to give his example. Similarly, youngsters would come to Baba and say, Baba, we are too young for this. Let us enjoy life, you know. Let us enjoy the world. We need to enjoy. And Baba used to tell them, you know, this is difficult because we want to enjoy. It's difficult. Baba would tell them, see Mama, Mama is young. See Mama, although she's so young and yet how much effort she's making. So don't think that, oh, young people cannot make the effort. Take the example of Mama. She was very young. And old people will say, take the example, Baba would tell them, take the example of Baba. Don't look at anybody else, but see Mama and Baba. And therefore now too, Baba says, if somebody else can do, why can't you? If they can do, why can't you? You know, so it's like giving them an aim and objective. And then the achievement is so great, so great. What is the achievement? You'll become the conqueror of the world. You know, when there is love, how parents, they love a child. First of all, how do they express their love for the children? First of all, they will praise them a lot. Even if the child is not really able to do much, the father will say, the mother will say, oh, you're very good, you're very good, you can do it, you'll be able to do it. Don't give up hope, you are capable, you know, pushing them all the time, helping them all the time, making them become enthusiastic all the time. It is because of the love. And then the children, really, because they are receiving love from the parents, then they do that with love because they are receiving the love and that love is being filled in them. And therefore, because of their love for the parents, and as the parents are telling them to do it, and they have love for the parents, then they will do. It's like if you have love for somebody and that one expresses that love so much, and whatever he tells you, you're ready to do it. Because you have love for that one. And why you have love? Because that one has given you so much love. So love begets love. You also love because you have received the love, and then out of love you do it and you don't find it hard work or labor or anything because you're doing it with love. But if the parents are not giving that much love, then whatever the parents say, the children will not want to do. Why? Because they're not receiving that love. They feel it's very hard, although the parents have told them. But if they are receiving that love all the time, then the children will do it very easily because they also want to give that love to the parents, that respect to the parents, because they are receiving the love. So Baba is also giving us so much love, so much love. In every murli, you know, Baba gives us so many titles. Every murli is having a new title. Avyakt murli is the very first sentence we hear. Is filled with titles. Baba is looking at such, 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 such children. So all these are titles for us. So that's the love Baba is expressing to us. And of which we were not at all aware that we could be that great. When Baba says, you are highly pure, holy children. Baba says it with so much love. You are the ancestral souls. You know, with so much love, Baba tells us. And it's not that it is just to please us. It's true. We are that. We did not know, and Baba has reminded us that you are that. And when Baba tells us, and we have that faith, this morning you had the class on the power of faith. Baba is not telling us just to please us, but Baba is telling us truly we are that. But if someone says, no, no, I'm not that, though Baba is praising me, but I'm not really that. If Baba tells somebody, you are a pure soul, and that one will say, no, 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 I'm not a pure soul. I'm a very, very impure soul. Okay, supposing he takes it for granted that he's an impure soul, although Baba is telling him you're a pure soul. But how will he become pure then? If he keeps on saying, I'm an impure soul, I'm an impure soul, can he become pure? He can't. But how can he become pure although he is an impure soul? By saying, I am a pure soul, by saying that. Baba was saying in the last Murli, you know, Avyakt Murli of this Sunday, Baba gave an example, like that awareness is needed. And when that awareness comes, then the strength also comes. And there is a very interesting example on this. Baba spoke about the Rajputs. So Rajputs were the warrior clans, was the warrior clan in India. And they were the Kshatriyas, the warriors. So they were the kings, you know, ruling in India. And very brave, very brave. They had two great, faith in themselves. One was that if they go on a battlefield, they must win. They will never come back defeated. Either win, but if they are being defeated, they will fight and fight and fight till the last breath, and they don't mind dying on the battlefield, then coming back defeated. They would never do that. This was the greatness of the warriors of India. Never come back defeated. Either come back victorious or die on the battlefield, but not come back defeated. And the wife would, give leave to the husband. So he would come to in front of the wife, and the wife would apply a tilak of victory on the forehead of her husband and would tell him, come back victorious, come back victorious. And then he would make a promise, yes, I will either come back victorious or die like a brave man in the battlefield, not come back as a coward, run away from the battlefield. So this was one of the greatest speciality. And the second speciality of these Rajputs or the warrior clan was that whatever they would say through their lips, they would do it. You know, some people don't keep up to their promise. They say many things but never do it. But these Rajputs had that power. Whatever they would say, come what may, even if they would have to die for that, they wouldn't mind, but they would keep up to their promise. That's why Bab speaks in the Murlis. You may die, but you will never give up your promise. And that's why they used to get the strength. I'll never give up my promise. I prefer to die than give up my promise, of winning. And because of these two, great aim in their lives, they used to become victorious. But then, because they would also die on the battlefield, then, what would happen? So many Rajputs, they died, they were killed in India. So many attacked India because of wealth in India. And they died. In this way, today the Rajputs are no more, not many. But it's a big history of India. So Baba said the other day in the Murli about the Rajputs, they had this, do or die. And how they would do it, how would the strength come in them? They were reminded, who are you? You can never be defeated. They show about Arjuna also in the Gita. Arjuna was told by God, who are you? You are a Kshatriya, you are a warrior. You are not a coward. You cannot leave the battlefield. You have to fight. And you will be victorious. So keep fighting, don't give up. And therefore, Baba said the other day in the Murli about this, that have that aim, have that awareness, who am I? And you have it, the awareness, and you can become that again. So there's a very interesting story on this. There's a story, they tell about these Rajputs. So there was once a king. He was a very noble king. And he had lots of land. So one day he declared in his kingdom that I have lots of land and I want to give half of my land to a great warrior, a great, very strong man. And for that he put a condition that anyone who is really strong enough, he had a big rock like, boulder like, and he said with one hit, with a hammer, he should be able to break it into two pieces. And the one who can break that into two pieces with just one stroke, I will give half of my kingdom to that one. So many big, very strong people came, you know, to do it, but nobody could break that rock. So, and then at the end, one thin man, very thin he was, very weak, he came and he said he will break that rock into two with one stroke. So then the king laughed at him. You have no strength at all. What can you do? He said, but I have a condition. And that condition is that somebody will say something in my ear. I'll take the hammer, but at that time somebody will say something in my ear. If you allow me for that, and then I'll break it. The king said, it doesn't make any difference to me. Let him say anything, whatever he wants to tell you. But my condition is that you have to break that rock with one stroke. So that person took a hammer and he started raising it, and somebody was telling something in his ear. And as he was telling something in his ear, strength came in him. And how it came, from where it came, it was all in the awareness. And the strength came, and so much strength came that with one stroke, he could break that rock, with one stroke. So the king was surprised that he's such a thin man, hardly any strength. How did he break it? Then he was curious. He asked that person, what did he tell you? What did he tell you in your ear? Because, you know, on the basis of that, the gurus give mantras. They always tell in the ear. They don't tell it in, you know, otherwise. They tell it in the ear only. And then, they tell it only in the ear. And they tell that person whom they give the mantra, they say, don't tell it to anybody else. Because if you tell it to anybody else, the strength of this will reduce. So don't tell it to anyone. Just keep it with you. And Baba very often says, you know, they have hardly a few words. And they'll give every disciple the same mantra. And the mantra is not to be told to anybody. So nobody knows what the other person got, although it may be the same. Yeah. So what happened was, he asked him, what did he tell you in your ear? And you know what he replied? He said, this person told me in my ear, you know who you are? You are a Rajput. A Rajput means the one who is victorious. You are victorious. You are victorious. You are victorious. Your father was victorious. Your grandfather was victorious. Your great-grandfather was victorious. You know, he kept on telling him, you are victorious, you are victorious, you are victorious. Now what happened? That strength came in him. From where it came? From the soul, not from the body. The body didn't have that strength. But that willpower came from the soul, from the subconsciousness. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You are a Rajput. You are victorious. You have always been victorious. Your father was always victorious. Remember who you are. And he got so much strength that he could break that boulder or rock with one stroke. So what is that mantra? Baba said, it is awareness. It is the awareness of who you are. So Baba gives that awareness. It's nothing new for you. You have done it many times. That's what the Gita tells too. To Arjuna, God said, you have done it many times. We have met many times before. It's nothing new. You have been victorious many times. And then You are a warrior. You are great. You are, you know, giving so much praise with so much love. And that's what made Arjuna change, you know. So what does Baba do? He gives us that love by giving us an awareness. Who are you? So all our titles, Baba says, always remember your self-respect, a long list of titles. You are a master, almighty, authority soul. The moment I think of it, immediately the strength comes in me. Who am I? This is love, Baba's love to me, for me. And then I say to Baba, yes Baba, I'll do it. So it's not out of labor, it's not out of hard work or you know, something difficult. It's easy because I have that strength now. When somebody has strength, then anything is easy for him. A weak person, he is told to carry something which is 10 kilos or whatever. He says, oh, I can't carry, I can't. But somebody who is strong, 10 kilos what? Even 50 kilos is nothing great for him. You know, in India, we have these coolies. You go to the railway station, you have these people dressed in red and they are called the coolies. So they carry your luggage. They carry, nowadays in flights, of course, you have these, trolleys. But in railway stations, you don't have trolleys everywhere and there's a lot of luggage. So the coolie will say, give me, I'll take it. And it's very heavy. So he'll say, no, I'll take it. I'll say, how will you take it? You know, it's so heavy. For me it's heavy, but for the coolie it's not heavy at all. He'll take it and put it on his head. He'll say, give another one. And he'll say, oh, he may die. But he is very strong. And then he'll say, okay, give me something in my hand, one hand. Give me something in my other hand. And we think, how to give him, how will he be able to carry? But then he's able to carry. And because he knows how to keep a balance. And he carries both arms, he carries on his head and he runs. And we are following him. We are behind and he is running with even maybe 50 kilos or whatever. Train we can carry a lot, no? So we feel, how will he carry? But he's strong. And what they eat, you know, not much. So we see that we don't realize that yes, he's strong. Although physically he may not look very strong, he may be very skinny, but internally his bones are very strong. He's used to carrying weight. So Baba too makes us become aware. Says, children, it is not difficult at all. You have to just have that awareness, who am I? And then Baba gives the love. But then when Baba sees that children, in spite of giving them so much love, so much awareness, so much Baba is giving, he's working so hard on us. Every day Baba speaks the Murli, he keeps telling us. So, but still Baba sees that children are not really that much intense in their effort. Then Baba gives another method he uses for making us experience how God is giving us so much love. So that we make our efforts easy. And what is the second step? The second thing Baba does is, he gives us a temptation. You know, when parents see that children are not really making effort, they are not doing it, in spite of the love they give, children still are little disobedient, still careless, they are just pampered, that's all, and so forth, they become careless. But then the parents say, see son, if you come first, I will give you a bicycle. If you do this, I will give you this. It's like a temptation. If you pass, then I'll do this. With a condition. I'll give you, but what condition? You should come first. And then the child says, oh, if I come first, my daddy will give me this, my mommy will give me this, and then he makes the effort. Because that gives him the courage, that gives him the enthusiasm, because he's given a temptation. So Baba also gives us a temptation, no, doesn't he? Children, you'll become the masters of the world, you'll rule over the whole world will be in your hand. So that Baba speaks about golden age, that's where you are going. It's not just Baba trying to please us, but it's the truth. But that's the way to express his love for the children. So this is a very interesting method of expressing love for the children. You know, many people say, oh, I don't care for heaven. You know, many people do say, like they show Arjuna being told, when God tells him, you'll become the king of heaven if you win this battle. He said, oh, I don't want a heaven. I don't want. Because he had attachment. Attachment was the main cause of his, not having that hope, not having that strength. Although it was all there in him. And then ultimately what happened was that when God saw that he's not really doing anything, he's not even, aware of what God is telling him. Probably he's not even aware who is telling him. And then they show in the Gita that how God gives him his vision. He sees the light. Otherwise he saw just Krishna, a bodily being. But when he saw that light, when he saw the variety form of how God is creates and how there's destruction happening, and that made him become aware, who is telling me to fight? Because then God told him, if you won't, then destruction is round the corner. Destruction will happen anyway. Everything is going to be destroyed anyway. The punishment is there anyway, because you cannot go back with all these impurities. You have to be clean. You have to become pure in order to return home. God showed him how the souls are returning home. And when he saw all that, he was amazed. This is going to be the future. And when he realized what's going to happen, then he said, okay God, I'll do what you tell me. I'm ready. The strength was already in him. But the attachments were not allowing him to really be brave enough. And therefore Baba also said, it's not a battle between two families like that. It's a battle against Maya. They showed the Mahabharata, the battle between two cousins. But it is the battle against Maya. Maya is your biggest enemy. And children are not able to understand this, and therefore the children are not able to make that much effort. So when Baba sees the children are still not making the effort, then Baba uses the third option. The third option also Baba uses, like parents will use the third option. Child, if you won't study, then our mother will say, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to do this to you. It's love. I will punish you. The teacher will say also, I'll punish you. Although she may not do it, she's not allowed to punish, but at least she can warn the child, no? So Baba also warns the children. Children, if you won't make effort, then you'll be punished. You won't be able to accumulate your charitable acts. You will go back empty-handed if you won't make efforts. That through punishment all your sins will be absolved, because there are three methods to absolve our sins. We have accumulated so many sins on our head. So what are those three methods with which you can finish our sins? The easiest method, the greatest method, the best method, highest method is, children, remember me and I will absolve all your sins. This is the best method and the easiest method too. Method two, sitting in one place and you are remembering Baba, I'm a point of light, Baba is a point of light, being detached from the body is absolving our sins. Because we are becoming aware of our eternal, immortal, imperishable stage, our true stage, our original stage. And we are receiving that power from Baba, from that. And that's destroying us. That is one way of finishing all my karmic accounts. The easiest, best, highest way. Just being obedient, following what Baba is saying, that is accurate effort. Accurate effort. Whatever Srimad Baba gives, I follow that. And that's finishing my sins. It's purifying me. Baba says the other method is also there for absolving your sins. One is through remembrance. And the accurate efforts, Baba tells us through Srimad. Children, do this, do this, do this. And if we are doing it accurately according to Baba Srimad, then we are being purified. But the other method also is there, which is a little harder. And that is, if any karmic accounts are being faced by people, by nature, by anything, by any situation, don't give up hope. Be stable. Be stable. Something may happen. A death of a very near and dear one, Baba said yesterday. Don't be shocked. Oh, this happened. No. Baba has given the knowledge of the drama. Don't have sorrow in you. This everyone's part is fixed. This soul's part with me was only this much. No tears, no crying, no sorrow. No questions, no surprises. So even if somebody behaves badly, you can still be very, very stable because you know it's settling of karma with people. Your own physical ailments, you're not unhappy. See Dadi Janki, I'm really surprised how she's able to face all that and yet how she is still making the efforts. Her bodily pain was no less. But how she would become bodiless. Doctors used to be surprised how she's able to bear it. But she knows the art of being bodiless. And that she knows it's just finishing everything of the past. I'm light. I'm with Baba. I'm in Baba's lap. Thinking so positive. Otherwise when somebody is not well, oh my karma, my fate, I don't know what good, bad karma I've done, I don't know what this is. If somebody's opposing, I fight back, I also get upset, I get angry, I'm creating more karma. But if somebody else is doing, but I'm stable, then I'm finishing my old karma. Karma is there, definitely. Otherwise, I'll have to be punished in Dharamrajpuri. You know, many people say, oh, dadis are so great, they've done so much effort. Still, why that physical, you know, problems? But it's not just this one life we have lived. 63 lives we have lived. And how many sinful acts we must have committed, we don't even know. In one life we have done so much. What about the other 62 lives? And therefore we have a very, very big burden of sinful actions on our head, and which nobody else can take away. We have to do it ourselves. So either through remembrance, and it should be done happily, because I'm finishing. It's like somebody is indebted into my debts. And he's accumulating, he's getting wealth. So he's ready to give away his debts, he's clear his debts. No, he won't even, it's easy for him because he has enough wealth now to clear his debts. Otherwise that's a big burden on his head, if there are debts on his head. So with the help of Baba's knowledge, I'm accumulating so much wealth of knowledge. So many treasures, wealth of knowledge, wealth of virtues, wealth of powers. All these are treasures for us. So with that we are able to finish our karmic accounts. So if any obstacle comes, any problem comes, any situation, whether of the physical body, whether of relationships, whether of nature, whatever, finishing karmic account, finishing with my jewels of knowledge, with my jewels or wealth of virtues and powers. And Baba says, those virtues or powers, you should be able to experience at that moment only. Tolerance. It's a very great virtue and a very great power too. But at the right time, it should come to you. If you are not able to experience at the right time, later on, if you say, oh, I should have tolerated, but then it's too late. You have to do it at that time. Like Baba said, you have something very valuable with you, but when you want it, you're not able to find it. You look for it in the whole cupboard and in your drawers, you don't know where you have put it. It should be available at the right time. Sometimes it is, you have it also, but you don't know how to use it. You know, sometimes we have these wonderful gadgets. They are very, very expensive, but then we don't know how to use them, though they may be a very great help to you. They can help you to make things easier. But you don't know how to use them. And though in spite of having them, you're not able to use them, it is as good as not having them, because you can't use it at the right time. You don't know how to use it, even though you have it in front of you. So either you are not able to find it, although you may have it, or even if you are able to find it, you don't know how to use it. Or you don't have it at all. There are three options. And here we say we have all the jewels, all the wealth, all the treasures of knowledge and virtues and powers. But what's the use if I'm not able to use them at the right time? And therefore Baba says, keep experimenting with them. Keep experimenting. Make sure that you're able to use them in a proper way. This is called accurate effort. So dadis are also doing that effort in that way. Everything is very positive in them. In spite of all the difficulties of the body or whatever, maybe even of souls. I remember even Dadi Prakashmani. Dadi Prakashmani, you know, which I saw with my own eyes. Somebody came to Dadi and started, you know, like fighting with her, telling many not very good things. But Dadi was so peaceful, so peaceful, so peaceful. I was watching Dadi. That person was so agitated, but Dadi was so peaceful. And then Dadi kept quiet. Not a word Dadi spoke. Otherwise she was the administrative head. I mean, she could have given him big punishment after that, because actually he was wrong. But Dadi was quiet. And then when he is finished abusing or anybody and somebody else it was, you know, but so Dadi didn't say a word at that time. And then later on, I said, okay, you want to say anything else? Do you want to say anything else? Okay, I'll see into the matter. I'll see into the matter. So sweetly, I'll see. But it's not that Dadi gave him any punishment, although he came in front of Dadi in that aggressive state. Mama, as I remember I was very small. I was in front of Mama. Mama was with some kumaris. I was about 12, 13 years old at that time. And Mama was sitting with some kumaris, and I was also in that group. And the one sister came, one kumari came, and started, you know, shouting in front of Mama. And Mama complaining against somebody else. And Mama heard. Not a word she said. So instead of, like Dadiji said, okay, I'll see into the matter. But Mama said in a different way. So when she spoke about another sister, complained about another sister to Mama, after that, Mama told her, can I ask you a question? See, in front of me, well, I'm not at all concerned with what you all did. In front of me, you are speaking in such a way. What you must have spoken in front of her? I'm not even concerned. You have just come to complain. in front of me also, the way you are behaving, the way you are speaking, not aware of in front of whom am I speaking? Some senior, how obedient you should be, how humble you should be. Okay, you have to complain, no problem. But with a very positive state of mind, so that I may explain to her. But the way you were saying, I can understand what you must have told her. Immediately that girl, that sister, you know, she felt that she was wrong to say against somebody in front of mama like that. Because even she had been aggressive with her sister. So she didn't tell about her, but she told about herself, but she told about the other sister, complained about the other sister. And interestingly, about whom she complained, then after complaining she sat down, you know, quiet. And then that sister came, about whom she complained. And mama started praising her like anything. Instead of really scolding her, mama started praising her. And this sister who had complained felt very ashamed. Because mama told her, you are very tolerant. I don't know what the matter was. But then these matters could be with anyone. And therefore, Baba says, at that time you need the power of tolerance, power to face, power to adjust, power to accommodate, power to cooperate, all these powers which we use. Loving, love, peace, happiness, in all these virtues. And then Baba says, yes, that's the second way of finishing your karmic account. Also very easy way. So physical ailment, also relationships, environment, atmosphere, nature, whatever. Finishing, and do it happily. And the third very important factor is, what do you think? The third is, do not do any more sinful actions. Whatever happens, my actions should be elevated actions. That is the consciousness. The second is little different from the third one. The second is, at that moment I'm having that thought that I'm settling my karmic account, I'm finishing. And the third is, I should not react. Because if I'm reacting, then I'm creating an account and I don't have to create that account anymore. It's like somebody who has committed a murder, a big murder, and he is imprisoned for life imprisonment. And during that life imprisonment, after a few years, he changes completely, he's totally transformed. And you know what what the court does? It reduces the punishment because he has changed. And it reduces the punishment from life imprisonment to just maybe 10 years imprisonment because he has changed. Similarly, Baba says, if you have really changed, then your sins will be easily absolved. You won't be punished in Dharamrajpuri. Otherwise, there's so much punishment. So Baba warns us also, but in that also there is love. You know, many people say, I remember somebody telling me, why does Baba talk about Dharamraj? Why does Baba talk about punishment? Is Baba trying to frighten us? He said, Baba is not frightening you. It's like it's going to rain today. And the meteorological department, the observatory, I mean those who tell about the weather report, and they say it's going to rain. Are they threatening you? Are they frightening you? No, they are telling you, they are warning you, take your umbrella. Take your umbrella with you. You know what to do for that. Take your raincoat with you. Take your rain shoes with you, so that if it rains, you are protected. So it's telling you what to do. It's not threatening you, it is not frightening you. So Baba is not frightening us, but talking about Dharamraj. That's how his love for the children. And when we think in this way, then automatically that's the accurate effort. Where we don't feel it to be intense, we don't feel it a labor, we don't feel it difficult, we don't feel it hard work. Okay? So Baba says in Hindi we have this lovely rhyming word, not mehnat, but mohabbat. Mehnat means hard work and mohabbat means love. So where there's love, there's no labor. So Baba gives that love and we return that love to Baba by making the accurate effort. Om Shanti.